This meeting is being recorded.
Hi, Darren.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and guests.
Thank you. The time is exactly 9 o'clock. Can you start, Darren?
Yes, Chair, we can start.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members and support staff of the committee and parliament. I'm not sure whether the minister is on the platform. Minister, if you're in, good morning. Honorable Pravin Gordhan and the deputy minister, DG from Public Enterprises, and Public Enterprise.
Finalizing where, with who, with what team. So I'm generally not satisfied with that. Apologies. Can you please just note it as such?
I think let's note that, and we usually take the view that if the minister is not available, we expect the DM to come and represent the political position of the department on whatever discussion that we are having. I think let's note that, and we'll communicate that to the minister and the deputy minister. Can we proceed on those basis, Honorable Ndlangweni?
Yes, Chair. I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me allow you to come in.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you. Good morning to Honorable Members and colleagues from ESCOM Management. We thank the committee for inviting us to come and share our thoughts on the ESCOM Debt Relief Bill. We've prepared a short presentation that I would like to request our executive colleagues to take us through. And as per the directive from you, Honorable Chair, we will request that we go through the slides quickly. It's only six slides. And that thereafter, we then revert back to yourself to guide us through the questions, answers, and reflections. From the executive team, I'm joined this morning by our acting group chief executive, who is a little bit under the weather, so he won't be able to speak long due to flu, but he is in the meeting. And thereafter, he will hand over immediately to the interim chief finance officer, Mr. Martin Bass, to then take us through the presentation comprehensively. Caleb, do you want to do introductory remarks?
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning to the Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thanks for the opportunity. I just want to make a few remarks from a financial perspective. I think, Chair and Members, what this debt relief bill has done for Eskom, I think first and foremost, it's taken off a lot of pressure in Eskom needing to go and approach markets and to raise what we've done in the last few years, anything between 40 billion up to 60 billion per annum. What this means is Eskom, from a financial perspective, is unable to release money to the business, being generation, transmission, and distribution for their capital projects in advance to procure the necessary long lead items to fulfill the procurement transactions. So this is the first time in the last 6 years, Honorable Chairperson, that once after the debt relief and we approved the corporate plan, we were able now at the beginning of April to release 3 years CapEx across the division for generation, transmission and distribution. That's a tremendous relief from a financial perspective and an operational perspective. It also allows the management team to focus on dealing with the pressing issue of generation and generation's performance, reducing that unplanned outages to reduce the intensity and the frequency of load shedding. I think we must not only look at this from a financial perspective, but all the time that it took to secure funding in the past now can be focused on the operational needs, together as well with the unbundling process that we are currently conducting. So Chairperson, I think that is a tremendous relief for us. We also believe that the combination of the debt relief and the tariffs that was awarded by NERSA allows us to even go up to year four without the need to borrow as Eskom in our corporate plan. With our assumptions we've made, Chairperson, we've also extended that to the fifth year. Obviously, if circumstances change, and we know the one condition, we would be required to approach the Minister of Finance to the Minister of DPE and the Board. But at this point in time, we are assuming on the debt relief and the tariffs we've got, that Eskom will be able to manage its operational needs, its capital requirements for the next 5 years. Chairperson, I must mention the one outstanding element to deal with our financial sustainability is the municipal debt and improving that collectability from the Munichs. We know as part of the debt relief, MT has issued the circular around municipalities as an incentive. If they increase their current account and adhere to it, then Eskom will then write off over a three-year period that portion of the municipal debt. Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Members. I'll now ask Martin Bass, the Acting CFO, to go through more detail. Much appreciated. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Caleb. And good morning, Honourable Chairman and Honourable Members, colleagues from DPE and also colleagues from EXCO in the Eskom board. Natasha, are you going to put the presentation up? Chair, I'm not sure who is going to put the presentation up.
Karen, can you sort that one out?
Otherwise, I can share my screen.
So just in the interest of time, Martin, please share your screen.
Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. As Caleb has said, the debt relief bill provides certainty to Eskom in terms of financial sustainability. And what the bill actually said is that National Treasury for 3 years will take over Eskom's debt servicing costs. Now, that is the principal as well as the interest over the debt service period. This will allow to free up cash at Eskom to allow Eskom to undertake immediate and much needed investment programs required to reduce the load shedding. So in other words, what we can do is we will now have the cash from operations, which we can control, and we can now actually utilize this money for investment into the to our capital program. And then also the conditionality around the debt relief should actually now provide comfort that this will allow Eskom, that the balance sheet at the end of the day will actually strengthen. And they will also prevent Eskom from raising further debt during this period. And therefore, the Eskom balance sheet will strengthen. So if we look at it, how is the debt relief going to work? First of all, NT will provide Eskom with 184 billion rands worth of cash funding over the next 3 years, 78 billion for FY23-24, then 25, and then for FY26, it's 40 billion. So in total, it's 184 billion. Now, that 184 billion will be to settle debt and the interest payment of that. It is, at this point in time, our estimate that 90 billion of that 184 will be for principal payment and 86 billion will be an interest payment. So if you look at it, you will see that at a point in time at December 22, Eskom's total stock debt was 454 billion. And then if you take the 98 billion, you will end up with 356 billion on the balance sheet at the end of FY26. In other words, that is at the 31st of March, 2026. Thereafter, NT has agreed that they will take over 70 billion rands worth of debt. Now, we must make it clear that it is not going to be exactly 70 billion rand worth of principal, because they also take over the interest portion of that. You will reduce Eskom's debt further with an amount still to be determined. At this point in time, National Treasury hasn't decided exactly how they're going to deal with it, but they are busy looking into that to see what debt at the end of the day they will want to take over. Now, the conditions that they've set, first of all, Eskom's capital expenditure is restricted to transmission and distribution. That will allow for the refurbishment and the strengthening and expansion of the network. It's something which we really need. And in the case of generation, it will allow us to do the maintenance and the outages on the generation, on the existing generation plant, and also to comply with the minimum emission standard, and also to do the flue gas desulfurization, specifically at Medupi, and the required outages and maintenance. Eskom will not be allowed to invest in any new greenfield generation projects. Eskom may not implement remuneration adjustments that negatively affect its overall financial position and Eskom's sustainability. So what it's saying to us is, yes, we can make remuneration adjustments as long as it's reasonable. And then we may not use proceeds from the sale of non-core assets for capital and operating needs. So what we have to do is the sale, the proceeds, we actually have to utilize that to repay debt. And then the debt relief can only be used to service debt. Now, and that we are very comfortable with. No new borrowings will be allowed during the debt relief period. And as Caleb has said, we have assumed that for the next 5 years, Eskom will not borrow any money. And then also it's that positive equity balance in Eskom's hedging instruments cannot be used to enter into any new loan agreements. And that is also acceptable to Eskom. What will happen with the guarantee framework that basically came to an end on 31st of March 2023? The debt that has been guaranteed will remain guaranteed until maturity. And then the debt relief, the guarantees will fall away. So how will this work? It will actually be National Treasury will provide Eskom with the funding. It will be an interest-free loan. It will be subordinated to Eskom's existing indebtedness. And then it will be converted into Eskom shares. And then, as I said previously, that we can only use it for pre-identified Eskom debt and interest of all the debt. It's not only the guaranteed, but it's all the debt. Then on a monthly basis, or on a quarterly basis, Eskom will provide National Treasury with a compliance report. And then once they've gone through the compliance report, then the minister will actually grant the permission that we can actually now issue the shares, or we can convert the loan to government equity. And then Eskom will then issue the shares. And then Eskom will commit to adhering to the conditions set by government for the duration of the debt relief period. And that has already started. And as I said, we will provide a report on a quarterly basis, and we will meet with National Treasury around it. The debt to equity will immediately improve Eskom's balance sheet. It will start deleveraging the balance sheet. Because what will happen is, as your debt actually reduces, your equity portion will actually increase at the same time. And then a key assumption that was made during this debt relief is the whole issue around the tariffs itself. We know for FY24, which we are in right now, and FY25, what the tariffs is. But we made assumptions around the tariffs for the following year as well. And if Eskom does not comply with the specific conditions for a quarter, what Eskom will be allowed is a further quarter, so that we can actually correct the conditions. And if not, then the loan amount from that quarter will actually be converted into a loan with market rates, and Eskom will then have to settle the loan. Now, the benefits to Eskom is the strengthening of the balance sheet and financial position by you reduce the debt and you increase the equity. And a big issue to us is it will improve the liquidity and avoid rolling debt or borrowing to settle debt, because in the past what happened is the cash from operations was not sufficient to settle the debt. So now the cash from operations will be utilized for CapEx, as we will be able to settle the debt. It allows for long-term planning, and it will improve generation assets planning. So because allowing for the ordering of long lead items up front. And then sometimes we actually have to order long lead items 2 years in advance, and now we will be able to do that. And cash, we can utilize it for the investment in infrastructure. It will definitely support Eskom going concern status, because every year we have to provide to the auditors that Eskom is a going concern for the next 12 months. And that will definitely assist in that regard. And we are really thankful for this debt relief, as it will that will support the business in its operational challenges at the moment. The balance sheet and the financial position will improve, and an improvement in Eskom will really benefit the country, and we all realize that. And as Caleb has said, of a big concern to us is the growing overdue municipal debt. exceeding 58 billion at this point in time. And most likely at the end of FY24, it's going to be in the order of 66 to 68 billion rand that the overdue municipal debt has grown to. Thank you, Chair. I think that is the presentation.
Thank you very much, Martin. May I, with your permission, Honourable Chair, invite our Chair of Investment and Finance Committee to hear if she has any remarks, comments before we hand over to yourself. Mayor Triphosa Romano, do you have any comments, high-level remarks?
Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, members of the ESCOM board chair. Thank you. Yes, I think that the presentation by Martin is a true reflection, and I can confirm that we have now released the long lead CAPEX items up to a period of 5 years already due to this debt relief program that has actually relieved ESCOM from a cash crunch. So currently, the only focus is going to be ensure that the generation, they execute on their CAPEX so that we can have the reliability of the fleet. And also from a compliance point of view, we are also monitoring that aspect at the IFC in terms of ensuring that this is actually done appropriately. And it's worth noting that the 78 billion that has been targeted, that Martin has shown in the presentation, it can only be received, I think, Martin, around June. So I think it will come in the next 2 months. But so far, from a liquidity point of view, I think we are sorted at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Romano. Honorable Chair, we would like to hand back the reins to you to hopefully facilitate Q&A and reflections from honorable members. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair ESCOM and your team for the presentation. Honorable members, you know how we do it. Can I have indications of the honorable members who would like to have a bite on the presentation made by ESCOM?
Tobias.
Come
again.
Mlenzana.
Tobias.
Chair was Humphrey Memezi.
Okay. Humphrey.
Memezi.
Yes, Honorable Memezi. Honorable Tobias. Honorable Mlenzana.
Yes, Honorable Sarupin.
Honorable Sarupin.
Tlangweni, Chair.
Honorable Tlangweni.
Thank you, Mom. Chair, Head Man Upper. Thank you.
Honorable Matafa.
Honorable Matafa.
Kaiso.
Honorable Kaiso. I think that's it, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. Again, I want to restrict you in terms of time. I know you can regulate yourself and time yourselves. Let me start with honorable Memez. Honorable Memez, please come in.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start, Chair, by appreciating the presentation by ESCOM. Of course, give respect to the chair, Mr. Mukwana. Indeed, the presentation it does give hope. Indeed, it's kind of presentation that makes one to feel good. We really appreciate. But Chair, because we also deal with issues informed by what we had gone through in the past. So we have been with ESCOM for some years. from the government side, there have been a lot of funds called bailout that has been going to this entity. Things didn't go the way the people of South Africa would appreciate. Of course, there's a lot today that should be appreciated, because South Africa is not the same as it was before 1994. You go to our countryside, you'll see the difference. You'll see that indeed Eskom is existing, and is not only existing for the few, but is existing for the majority of our people. You go to informal settlement, you can't afford not to see that Eskom has made a difference even in those informal settlements. So I think whatever concerns we may have, Chair, it's always helpful to give credit where it is due. But be that as it may, Chair, we, Eskom, must still clarify us and comfort us further in terms of that history where we have been giving a lot of bailout, but things didn't go the way they themselves have promised South Africa. So we would want an assurance, even though I've mentioned good things that indeed we cannot deny, but we would need assurance, because there are a lot of funds that didn't really go the way Eskom themselves have planned. So we would want that assurance in terms of the bailout, because now we talking in terms of this relief that everybody is appreciating. And from where I sit, I also appreciate. I also feel a bit relief as well. You see, but indeed, we are clear that Eskom must ensure that we are not taken for granted. What has happened in the history is also a learning curve for all of us. So I think that's the main area that I would want Eskom to clarify and assure further. But from where I sit, it would be to indicate that I'm already feeling a bit relief, hoping that Eskom would stick to those conditions, even where the loans are attached with conditions, then the issue and the worry is, will they honor those conditions? Those things, because previously they sometimes they didn't meet what they promised us. So I would want to hear those points, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Memezi. Honorable Tuyas, please come in.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Chair.
in terms of provision of electricity, mindsets often are dictated by that status. And so both the board and the management and the Eskom senior staff have to ensure that they take serious cognizance of the kind of concerns being raised both in this meeting but elsewhere as well. We also take the second point, which is that there must be an impact that can be palpable as far as the population is concerned, as far as load shedding is concerned. And the board and management will share with you the plans that have been put in place, both at an Eskom level, but also importantly at the national government level in relation to the National Energy Crisis Committee and the various things that have to be done in order to ensure that we have energy security within South Africa itself. And your last point, Chairperson, which I'll come back to later as well, this too big to fail mindset and status should not be abused in any way, which means that both as the oversight department, but government as a whole, needs to diligently monitor the performance of Eskom. But equally, Eskom and its very big staff need to ensure maximum transparency in terms of the actual performance. As many of the honorable members have asked, sufficient detail to be able to say that it is actually moving in the right kind of direction. So that, in a sense, is a shared responsibility. But energy security is not going to come only from Eskom, in the sense that the key challenge I think we all face is how is IRP 19 going to be practically implemented in its various forms and with the mixed energy sources that it contains as our future at this point in time. And how do we not only rely on the current megawatts, if you like, available within the Eskom coal power station and related generation facilities, but also the renewables that are being invested in by various sections of the private sector. But renewables, as you know, will only make a difference if at the peak moment, early in the morning and late in the evening, if it is accompanied by battery storage. And so the issue of battery storage, and there's been some recent progress in that regard, where RFPs have been issued, and there's a project within Eskom itself in respect of battery storage. But outside of that, the critical factor is still, how do we add 4,000 to 6,000 megawatts to the system to give Eskom the opportunity to undertake the kind of maintenance that needs to be undertaken. Now, this is a narrative that has been there for some time, and the critical issue would be whether all of the resources, both within Eskom and within society more broadly, are being mobilized in order to make sure that the maintenance part of Eskom's responsibility, notwithstanding the unreliability factor amongst the plants themselves, is undertaken with the kind of diligence and magnitude that is actually required. So let me come back to some of the issues once the chair, if you're comfortable. The Eskom colleagues have addressed some of the issues in their presentation and the technical issues that have arisen from your questions. Thank you very much.
Perfect, Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Let me start off also by greeting Honourable Minister Gordhan and thank you, Honourable Minister, for that high-level remarks. Perhaps, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, it's important that I perhaps piggyback where the Minister left off and then add a few points of context from the Board. After that, I will invite colleague Ms. Triforce Romano from an Investment and Finance Committee perspective if she would like to add anything further. And with your permission, then thereafter, hand over to Mr. Caleb Kasim, our acting group chief executive, together with executive colleagues to then, as the minister pointed out, deal with the more detailed comments where practically possible today. The minister mentioned rightfully that we are tasked with ensuring that we create an environment for a sustained sense of key energy, security of energy supply. So from where we sit as the Board, we started our mandate by firstly taking an approach that says you need to create a platform, an enabling environment to fix Eskom, to ensure that our various power stations are maintained as they should be routinely, so that they can operate with a little bit more predictability, because what has been happening is that maintenance programs have been short-circuited, and as a result, you have these frequent outages that occur due to tripping of units and boiler units not working as they should. So I want our generation executive to address that a bit comprehensively. As we fix Eskom on the one part, we understand that as a Board, we are tasked with ensuring that we fast track the operationalization of the transmission company Board and its operational executives. And so we've been working quite hard to ensure that that occurs. And as it stands, there's a committee of the Board that is finalizing the interviews of the Board of Directors that will assume office with the hope that by quarter three of this calendar year, we would have wrapped up, and that process, that company would then be operating at that time. We have a overall strategy that the Board approved, which is referred to as Eskom 2035. And since the beginning of April, the executive colleagues have been in earnest beginning to implement that strategy. Part of that strategy is an Eskom generations turnaround plan, which we, with the help of the NECOM led by the president, consulted quite extensively through a number of stakeholder engagements that we were led by both the president, our minister of public enterprises, and other ministers who participated in NECOM. In that turnaround program, we committed as the Board to drive an improvement in the energy availability factor, which means ameliorating load shedding by ensuring that as of March 2023, the end of the 2022-23 financial year, we would have sought to drive EAF to 60% and then 65% EAF at the end of March 2024. And then aspire towards an EAF of 70% towards the end of March 25. Once you start seeing a consistent performance of between 65 and 70% EAF, that's when we will see a little bit of stability in terms of the minimization of load shedding. Parallel to this, we have been on a journey to strengthen the management of Eskom, and hopefully shortly you will hear from one such member of the executive committee at Eskom, Mr. Begin Malo, that we've just appointed as the group head for generations. And he can share a little bit more also in terms of what we're doing in the Rotech space to strengthen the various challenges that we've been having with boiler tubes and other parts that can actually be locally manufactured within the Eskom Rotech industries. After this engagement, we do have an engagement with our Minister of Public Enterprises to give a progress report on the search for the group chief executive, which is well underway. And we have quite a strong shortlist against which we are now ready to conduct interviews and make the requisite recommendations in line with our MOI to the Minister of Public Enterprises to recommend for a permanent group chief executive. So the soonest that such a warm body would be assuming office will depend on the ultimate candidate that we settle for. In the short list, we've got some candidates that can assume immediately, as in a matter of weeks. We have candidates that, if they are appointed, will need to serve notices of 2 months to 3 months. So it will ultimately depend on which candidate gets settled for with the concurrence and ratification of the shareholder ministry as soon as we've concluded the interviews in line with the memorandum of incorporation of Eskom. We are where we are as the Eskom board, 7 to 8 months in office, because we've had a constant collaborative engagement and support from NECOM, collaborative engagements with the Ministers of Electricity, DMRE, and our line minister, Ministry of Public Enterprises. In terms of high level from a board perspective, the question is asked around assurances that the board will ensure that things are done differently this time around, with ensuring that we demonstrate due appreciation, as the chair of the committee said, around the 254 billion. We, firstly, from a technical point of view, have done something different to with the support of public enterprises, to what other boards have done previously, by ensuring that we've got a dedicated technical committee of the board that ensures that there's regular oversight and regular support and guidance to management with regards to creating stability in the generations division. We continue to meet. We've already had our first oversight meeting with the Ministry of Finance, where they've given indication that they would want to engage us quarterly. So there's active oversight to ensure that what has been committed, we live up to in terms of turnarounds and deliverables. So we are a board that we believe is agile. be afforded then to revert back in depth and in writing where it's applicable. But perhaps with your permission, Honorable Chair, may I then hand back to our Minister, Minister Gordon, and request the Honorable Minister then, as indicated, to perhaps do a bit of a wrap-up, fill gaps where we may have left key items out that he's able to deal with and contextualize further. And perhaps then through the Honorable Minister, hand back to you, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Minister, are you there?
Yes, I was waiting for you to induct me. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. I'll just go through some of the issues that have been raised. Many of them have been answered by our ESKIM colleagues. So, Honorable Mamesi, you've asked about, and you make an important point, that we must learn from the history of so-called bailouts, but we must also learn, if I may submit, from the history of state capture and the kind of impact that it has on institutions like ESKIM, Transnet, and others as well. I think the question that you and many other honorable members have asked is what happens if the conditions are not honored, and remember the conditions are set by the National Treasury. And I think that has been answered, that the loan won't be converted to equity, and there obviously will be implications for ESKIM in terms of meeting the requirements of the loan itself. Honorable Lentana asked a question, how will freeing up cash in ESKIM assist? And I think we've had answers from Mr. Nomalo and others as well, and Mr. Bates, that it actually enables ESKIM to focus on and spend more on maintenance in particular. And you make a valid point that ESKIM is too big to fail. And the state takes responsibility in the sense that the state is 100% owner, if you like, of ESKIM, and has to find ways of rolling back some of the financial and operational impacts that the past history has had on institutions like ESKIM itself. We will, from the department side, also do our bit to ensure that the ESKIM Accounting Authority makes the necessary efforts to comply with the conditions. And where there are difficulties, we will engage with the National Treasury in that particular regard as well. On the question of exemption, Mr. Kassim addressed that question, but I think it was a simple point at the end of the day where we didn't get, in the period 2018-19 in particular, sufficient clarity from the Accountant General and others, including the auditors of institutions like ESKIM, on how do you deal with irregular expenditure incurred during the previous 5 or 6 years? And can they all be accumulated and reflected in 1 year? Or can there be a different form in which the treatment takes place? It has nothing to do with respect in terms of transparency, but there is a technical issue, as Mr. Kassim tried to explain, in terms of where the backlog of irregular expenditure is dealt with, whether in the annual report or in the financials themselves. And hopefully we'll get clarity on that in the coming weeks. Mr. Sarapin asks a question about improved financial and operational performance as a result of the various contributions from government and the fiscus to ESKIM itself. On the financial side, it enabled Eskom in the previous years, where 20 odd billion rand a year was committed by the previous Minister of Finance, to remain a going concern, which is a critical audit issue as we go forward. On the operational side, that it's been a roller coaster. And as Mr. Navarro explained, we're losing Coburg and having it off for an extended period of time because of refurbishments and extension of its lifespan to 20 years, by another 20 years, and losing Kusile to the accident that took place there, and delays in bringing on additional units in Kusile and Medupi, and the Medupi fire, which hasn't been mentioned. All of that contributed to a very narrow reserve margin, but also very high UCLF, way beyond 15,000 at different stages, which then leads to load shedding. But if we bring some of these factors under control in the coming period, we should see a better performance sooner rather than later from the existing plant. But I repeat the point I made earlier on, that we still need to, as a country, find ways, including gas, for example, to add megawatts into our energy system so that we have the energy security that the country actually requires, both at a citizen level, but also at a business level as well. And then, Honorable Nslangweni, how will this loan help? I think that question was addressed, and the exemption question as well. Sheikh Imam, what if the conditions are not met? We've addressed that as well. Do we understand the problem in Eskom? I think we do. But we do need, as you point out, to keep a balance between coal and a move towards addressing the climate change issues that the planet as a whole is confronted with. And you ask a simple question to which there's an equally simple answer, where you say that Korea and China and others are building coal-powered stations. The question is, who would lend government anything up to 100 billion rands to build another coal-powered station? All the banks in South Africa and elsewhere in the world have indicated that they will not contribute to any new coal-powered station being built, and we don't have the capital on our side. So I think as a country, we still need to make the adjustments that are necessary in order, as was pointed out by Mr. Kassim, that coal will still be a factor 40 years down the line in Kusile and Medupi. But at the same time, we need to reduce emissions that are negative in respect of the health of the population, but also reduce our carbon footprint as a global responsibility that we have. The question is, how do we map a path that would take us in terms of a nationally declared contribution? And many countries have had to adjust their paths because of the war in Europe and many other factors as well. And South Africa, I imagine, will have to do the same in that particular regard. So I think these are all going to be carefully factored in by government as we go forward. On the question of megawatts from neighboring countries, I think Eskom is in a better position to answer that. So if somebody on the Eskom side could come back and answer what exactly has been acquired in terms of the number of megawatts and from whom, that will be helpful. Honorable Matafa, you also raised the question about the limitation that has been placed in terms of investing in additional generation capacity. And I think another honorable member has raised the same question as well. That's a condition that the Treasury has put in place. So it's something that we will have. I think Honorable Buthelezi has also raised that point. And we'll have to keep an eye on that so that if there are changes required, then government as a whole, including the Treasury, we'll have to review that position as we go forward. But the financial stability on the one hand, and the ability to generate what is required on the other hand, in terms of megawatts, is the key as we go forward. We have a drift exemption question and the question of equity and its distribution amongst the three unbundled so-called entities has been addressed by Mr. Pace as well, and the importance of relieving the new transmission entity of any debt obligations is also something that Mr. Pace has mentioned as well. Honorable Taiso, the chair has indicated that they will get back to you on new efforts to limit and eliminate corruption. But I think we must be upfront with the committee and the public that corruption is still a factor, both at a power station level and at the corporate level as well. And there are people in management who need to be checked out in terms of dubious activities that they engage in. And I will be engaging with the board and the management in that particular regard as well, because corruption has not ended. And it is having a negative impact on the way in which money is ultimately spent, particularly in respect of procurement, both at a power station level, but also at a corporate level as well. You also make an important point, Honorable Kaiso, about the ratings agencies. Of course, Eskom is at a sub-investment grade at the moment. But over the next few years, our ambition has to be that we make it an investable entity. And that path has to be something that we work on and is being worked on as we go forward. And you're also right that Eskom is in the current period engaged with unions on the issue of wage negotiations, and that's best left to that particular forum. Honorable Chair, you make an important point in terms of the country's fiscal deficit and the socioeconomic commitments that the country as a whole has to a population. And that has to be constantly on the minds of Eskom colleagues and our own minds as well, in terms of the measure of support that is actually granted and the impact that it has, not only on the deficit, but on the debt picture of the country as a whole. And I suppose what Eskom is promising South Africans, which we will be monitoring carefully as well, is how do we work our way out of the current disastrous load shedding phenomenon and the roller coaster that we find ourselves in as a country. So Nomalo says he's got a plan. And we appreciate the kind of engagements he's having, but we will engage with the necessary people in Eskom to understand better as well. But I think what we all want is not only for the 18-month to two-year plan to be executed, but the crisis committee as a whole working in unison on the one hand to improve Eskom performance, on the other hand, to increase the number of megawatts added to the system as quickly as possible, and other measures that are part of the crisis plan that the president announced last year. And that synchronization is quite critical as we go forward. And I've addressed your question about generation and transmission, but I think that is something, as I said, that once we get out of the current quagmire, we will look at further. So there's just the issue of megawatts from our neighboring countries, and we'll converse with the board and the management on any other issue that they need to revert to you on. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister.
I also have another commitment. So after I hear the ISPIN reply, with your consent, I would like to sign off. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. There's one question I thought I have for you, but Are we getting any megawatts from this after liberalization of generation, especially to the private sector at the moment? You alluded to it that the solution is not only with Eskom. Quickly on this one before I let you go.
Yeah, no, there are, if you like, megawatts coming in from the renewables that are already in place. The challenge is, and I don't think we have that slide here at the moment, that the sun only shines between certain hours, for example, or the wind will blow when it wants to blow. And so in the absence of battery storage, you cannot use that number of megawatts that is generated through solar and wind when the peak moments come, which is early in the morning and later in the evening. So I think you need a composite solution, which is extending the renewables, but also utilizing gas as a step down from coal on the one hand, and on the other hand, the storage capacity, which then enables the usage of renewables. And we were also told about pump storage, but there's a project that Eskom has in mind, but that will take another 5 or 6 years to realize. But pump storage plays an important part, as does the use of diesel, as you know, Chairperson, as far as the OCGTs are concerned during peak hours. So it's all of these factors that have to kick in. What is not often understood is that if you have 10,000 megawatts of renewables on the system, at any particular point in time when it's available, about a third or less is actually utilizable. But again, Mr. Ngumalo might want to come in if he has that detailed information. So not all 10,000 is usable at any given stage.
Thank you, Minister. I think we can release you. Yes, Honorable Lenzana.
Excuse me, Man Chairperson. I have a comment here from one person from the public. It's going to the minister. Perhaps we can just listen and respond later, or I will read it as it is, sir, if you allow me.
Quickly, Honorable Lenzana.
This read, from the fourth parliament, government instructed Eskom to keep the lights on at all costs, thereby forcing them to stop maintenance and defer all else, except to stick to that instruction, and there was no promise of what must happen beyond the World Cup. And Parliament and public representatives dismally failed to oversee the government, thereby betraying the South Africans and their duty to hold the executive accountable for unbecoming decisions. If he can have a bite now or sometime.
Quickly, Minister, your response. I'm sure you can respond to that.
Yes, so thank you, and thank you, Honorable Zana, and thanks to the member of the public, because that's what this platform is about. During that particular period of 2010 is when state capture began. The country did make some special arrangements, inverted commas, to keep the lights on. But even in the succeeding years or subsequent years, maintenance, as Eskom has explained many times publicly, of the what they call philosophy maintenance, that is substantial maintenance to the plant, did not take place. The plant was run at an extraordinarily high level, and in the current period we are suffering the consequences of that particular way of actually operating. So yes, the government of the day and those that were responsible within Eskom itself, which is not the current crop of people at the senior management level, are trying to overcome that legacy and doing our best to meet the country's requirements as with national government as a whole in order to overcome that legacy, but also more importantly, ensure energy security going into the future. That's some of those facts are there for the record, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. I think we can release you. We'll continue engaging with the ESCOM team. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I promised you a second bite, which I'll limit to 2 minutes. If you have got anything to follow up or if there's a completely different question. So I'm limiting you to 2 minutes. You know that I then time you. I'll start with Honorable Memes. Do you have anything? Honorable Memesi? Okay. Honorable Tobias, any follow-up question? Any question?
No, Chair. Thank you for now.
Thank you. Honorable Lindana, anything from your side?
Yes, Chairperson. Just one, Chairperson.
Mm-hmm.
On the technical comments by the public. Were those time frames realistic? Is it now closed? Because we want justification. Just on that check. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Lenzana. Although it's more of the National Treasury issue, because the regulations, there's regulations came from National Treasury, and they're the ones who are giving those time frames and so on. But if ESCOM...
No, I get you, Chair. Let's debate, Chair. I get you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Mlenzana. Honorable Sarupen, do you want to come in? Honorable Sarupen, are you there? Okay, I'll come back to Honorable Sarupen, or you raise your hand if you do come back. Honorable Tlangwini, any follow-up or new question?
Chair, I think it's just a comment. Chair, you know, I'm very concerned. Yes, we had the conditions, and ESCOM has stated us and even taken us into confidence that they won't fail, and I'm glad that this platform is recorded. So if anything do happen in the negative, we can simply take them back to this recording and say, but you have made these promises to the nation, and you must take full account for the failures that is happening within ESCOM if they surprise us, because we have heard this before. So I heard the minister is saying it's not the same crop of people. I don't know how do you refer to individuals to crops, but anyway, with this, I hope as the chair have also indicated that and made certain, I don't want to say promises, but commitments that they will definitely.
thanks, Caleb. I'll try and deal with the issues. In terms of the neighboring countries, we have got one major contract, and that is with Cora Bassa, that we import electricity from, and that is the biggest contract. Then we sometimes import electricity from the neighboring countries like Botswana and Zambia, but we import it when they are available. We are trying to enter into contracts with them for more firm power from them. That deals with it. I don't know if Sekhomotso or somebody is here that can provide more detail. Then on the solar panels, yes, it will definitely impact Eskom's revenue stream. But on the other hand as well, if it avoids us running the expensive plant, that will actually help your bottom line at the end of the day. But we did take it that over a long term, we will be able to, or we see a reduction in the revenue due to rooftop and other technical solutions as well. Thanks, Caleb. I think that dealt with all the questions except the question around the transformative approach. What are we doing around there? And there's a lot of things, and Mondi spoke to it about the microgrids, and there's a lot of other things that Eskom is also doing to assist the previous disadvantage. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Martin. I think, Honourable Chair, with your permission, allow us to come back to the committee with a comprehensive response on our procurement program, our broad-based defense, and also an update on our organizational transformation program, because we don't have, for instance, the procurement officer with us. We also don't have the human resources colleagues with us to respond appropriately. If we may be permitted, rather than give you piecemeal information, if we may be permitted to respond comprehensively and right. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson and the team, let me start by saying we exactly do accept the position of the board or the request to come back to us with those issues that they didn't address comprehensively. We always encourage that. Secondly, Chairperson, the question of transformation and economic emancipation of the previously disadvantaged people of this country is very paramount. It's one thing that would like your board to be seized with. It shouldn't be incidental. It should be there. It's something we should be reported on an ongoing basis. And we definitely would like to hear what Eskom is doing, the plans and so on. We always say in this this committee, year in and year out, we appropriate more than 2.2 trillion rand government institutions. So amongst other things that we look at is ensuring that there is transformation in the country. The nicety, it's what was imposed to this country by apartheid government. So Chairperson, I am you and the board that you stay closer to this one, and I would like to get that report as you have suggested. Having said that, I let me wish your board and the executive and the whole ESCOM team on behalf of the committee wish you well. And unfortunately, your productivity and your successes can't be hidden. It's something which is out there. We can all of us, but that's an unfortunate thing that you are having as ESCOM. Whether you go into rural Tsala, you go to rural Mahlabathi, you know whether you are performing or not. So that's an unfortunate part. So that's why we are saying that as Parliament, through this committee, we do want to support, and we have done that before. Hence the question that we should also help us so that when you go back to the people, they say, we're supposed to be building schools this side, but took money to Eskom. We should be able to say that's what has happened with Eskom. With those words, thank you very much for engagement. And again, you are going to be our customer. We can promise you that we'll also be, will again request you to come back so that we assess a progress. Thank you very much. All of the best.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We certainly take heed of your counsel. We certainly have it as matter, the whole matter of transmission and broad-based BE. We have it as a front of mind, but I did not want to give incorrect figures, rather to have them sent in writing appropriately. But we also thank you and wish you well in the work that you're doing, the very important work you're doing in this committee on behalf of our people of South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Let's say we are continuing with our meeting, honorable members. Thank you. Let's go to the I'm just checking my time agenda. We're going to look at the minutes which were sent to us, the minutes of the 18th and the 19th of April 2023. So remember, that's agenda item number 5. Can we go to the minutes of 18th of April 2023? As I said, they were distributed to us. Do I have a mover for the adoption?
Matafa moves, Chair.
Lenzana seconding. Minutes of the 18th of April 2023 are duly adopted. Minutes of the 9th of
Chair. President, sorry, yes. I'm not sure whether I made a mistake on the agenda, but we are supposed to be adopting the minutes by 20 April.
Sorry, Chair.
Carry on. Sorry.
So the minutes of the 18th of April have been updated. Am I correct, Karen? Yes.
Chairperson, yes, you are correct. I was a little bit confused on my side. You are correct, Chair. Apologies for that.
No problem. Can you go to
Monday,
the minutes?
Monday, Aaron. It's Monday.
Minutes of the 19th of April 2023. Can I have a mover?
Honorable Maria, second.
Thank you. The minutes of April 2023 are duly adopted. Thank you, honorable members. The takes care of agenda item number 5. Can we go to agenda item number 6? From you, Darren, do you have any announcements you would like to make?
Chairperson, yes, we've got our public hearings tomorrow morning starting at 9 on the Eskom debt relief bill. We received submissions from the Minerals Council of South Africa, NEBC, COSATU, and we also received individual submission from Mr. Cronin. Also, Chairperson, there's a Dear South Africa ran a poll on their website, and I received 9,194 submissions, but the CEO for that NGO is going to make a presentation on the outcomes of that poll tomorrow morning, Chair. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, that's fine. I think we're having quite a number of them, but I'll talk to you about that. Yeah, thank you for those announcements, honorable members. Can we then, yes, to agenda item number seven, which is the last agenda item. And just to thank you, honorable members, for the engagement and the incisive questions that you raised both with the minister and with Eskom team. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Let's meet tomorrow morning at 9. Thank you.
Thanks,
Chairperson.
Especially for raising issues of transformation, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson.